So I love my little Alistair, and it made me start to listen to some more Alistair Begg's sermons. He's Scottish, and that helps him become a much better preacher than me because everybody wants to hear his Scottish brogue. He has a really cool illustration I want to share. Some of you may have heard this before because it's pretty famous. It's called The Man on the Middle Cross. Alistair Begg says, when he gets to heaven, he would love to talk to the man who came to know Jesus, who was a thief next to Jesus on the cross. And I want to ask him a few questions, and I think his answers will sound something like this. My question to him would be, how did it go for you, your transition into heaven? Well, he said, when I got there, an angel came up to me and said, why are you here? And he said, well, I don't know. He says, well, did you attend Bible studies? Were you following the Torah? Were you going, you know, to the synagogue? He said, no. He said, well, then why are you here? And he says, I don't know. Well, he says, that's not a very good answer. I'm going to have to get the head angel to kind of talk to you more about this. So he got the head angel out. Head angel comes over and he goes, I have one question for you. Could you explain to me the doctrine of justification by faith? And the man said, I've never heard about that in my entire life. Well, he said, then why are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross told me I could come. The only reason that we have any opportunity to be right with God is because the man on the middle cross invited us. If you'll look up there, or look up there. Don't look up there. You're not supposed to know that one's there. That's for me. We need to trust our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for every aspect of our salvation. But I want to talk to you tonight about trusting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for every aspect of the newness of life that we are to live in. A newness of life that shines bright for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is missions. The term missionary actually means people who leave their culture and go to another culture. I actually had an elderly missionary tell me, well, we can call it missions when it's local, but a missionary is someone who leaves their culture to go, and that's what he had done for many years. I go back and forth between cultures. I get to go there, and then I come back, and my main goal now as a missionary is to let the need be made known, because the need right now in the former Soviet countries is gigantic. And I want to prove that to you tonight. Next slide, please. Keys Connections went through a major change in 2020. COVID-19, and your church heard about this because by way of video, during COVID, I spoke to your church. And your church, an offering was taken, and it helped gigantically to get this type of equipment into many of the schools so that they could go online with their teaching. They had never done that before. They like the personal touch, the one-on-one touch. Everybody likes that. But then they needed to go to an online. So online Bible college started during COVID, and our little ministry, Keys Connections, had a part in helping them get it started, because I'm the type of person that asks questions. We were sitting there in a meeting, a Zoom meeting. Everybody was telling about how difficult it was to minister. And I said, how much online equipment do you have? And they said, there's only one piece of online equipment in all of our Bible colleges. Over 40 Bible colleges. There's only well, no, over 70 at the time, over 70 Bible colleges. There's only one college that has online equipment, and Keys Connections gave it to the one in Moldova. So we're all looking at what they've done or started to do, and we're trying to do that. And they said, well, I think you're all going to need to do that. And he said, well, we don't have any money to do that. And we have zero equipment. So slowly we started working through that, and I think 26 of those schools are now fully up and running. 20 of them are in the country of Ukraine. More of the story to come. The other changes are 2/24/2022, the Russian army invaded Ukraine, which has totally changed our ministry, because the little country of Moldova feels like they have to help their brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine. One main Bible college is in Moldova that Keys Connections helped to start. 29 Bible colleges in Ukraine. And all of them are in the state of war, and most of them are going through the problem of, instead of educating at a high level, they're now training, Bible Institute training, and helping refugees, helping hurting people. All of the schools now have a vision for trauma counseling. So instead of teaching people how to trauma counsel, they do that, but they also trauma counsel. They become counseling centers. Because the Ukraine war continues, it's over 800 days old, and there's no look for it to stop. It just continues. And the Ukrainian people do not want their country to become Russian again. It already happened to them once. Millions of Ukrainians died when Russia took them over the first time. And it's happening again. So, major changes happened. Well, here's the funny thing. I was praying because I felt like there was a next step that our ministry was about ready to take. But I didn't expect COVID to push that, nor did I expect a war to push that. Next slide, please. Bible institutes, Bible colleges, Bible seminaries in the former, possibly now new Soviet Union is what we were a part of starting and had been involved in 13 different plants of Bible colleges and hundreds of planting churches. So releasing over 2,000 people to trained ministers of the gospel. Now, let me tell you a little bit. I'm going to quote Billy Graham on this. Billy Graham said, if I knew that there were 6 years of the world before Jesus returned, I knew there were 6 years, and I was a young man, and I knew I had 6 years to preach as much, I would take 5 years of college training and seminary training, and then I'd be prepared to do the 1 year of ministry, and I would do that every waking hour I possibly could to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So preparation is extremely important. I'll try to prove that to you tonight. So this is what settings look like. Both of those were taken within the last couple of years. We will take people out for 2 weeks and train them. Because some of the best ministers of the gospel are just all coming off the street. They just love Jesus and they want to serve Jesus. So they're great witnesses for God, and it's just because they love God and they're in God's word. But then once they get involved in ministry, they realize, oh my, I'm in over my head. I don't know how to answer all the questions. I'm struggling with how to continue in ministry. So taking people out in a two-week training and bringing them over and over again out for 2 weeks of training so that they are prepared for preaching the gospel and for helping people with their problems. And then a classroom setting. Next slide, please. Governments currently, I'm 64 years old. I've always had a little bit of politic ideas in my mind and tried to follow politics. Governments right now are like a tug of war. I literally, during the mission conference, I put a tug of war, had brought people up. Pastor Rich must be really strong because he was on the winning team. I think it was you, right, Pastor Rich? You did that? Yeah, he's at least going to try to take the credit for it. All right, so we had tug of war, and I basically tried to illustrate that governments right now, I thought when Russia attacked Ukraine that most governments would say, we're not helping Russia at all. We're going to stop trading with them. But instead, there are numerous governments that have become more trade with Russia in the midst of the war. In February of this year, a whole bunch of countries made a pact with Russia called the BRICS. They joined a group of countries called BRICS, and Russia's a big part of that. So they haven't lost. At first, they lost some trading partners, Russia did. Now they've gained a whole bunch more. So the division within the world economic systems and warring systems and the wars and the rumors of wars and all the craziness, I'm not saying it is the end times, but you'd be stupid if you didn't think it might be. Could be. But I believe, personal opinion, there are so many people currently coming to Christ. There's such a great need to preach the gospel that I believe we have time. And we, you, me, all of us need to be busy sharing the gospel with everybody we come in contact with. Because if the time is short, the Bible says there will only be a small remnant of believers that will be true to him. Well, don't you want to be a part of that small remnant of believers? I do. We, the Church of Jesus Christ, missionaries, mission organizations, must become intentional on preaching the Word of God, on helping churches to plant churches. We must do that. Our ministry has switched. Used to be involved in seminary, university, and institute. Now we have the opportunity, right now we have no money for this at all. We have the opportunity to start a whole bunch of small one-year Bible colleges for pastors. One of them is in Uyghur China, the far west part of China. So there'll be Mandarin Chinese speakers and Uyghur people who are in that an area of China to get trained for preaching the gospel. We don't have the money for that yet. We have Bible college opportunities all across Ukraine right now because instead of them doing it through the seminary, they want to do it in 30 persons at a time, small units of people at a time where it's the safest at the time. Currently in Odessa, Ukraine, they have a goal of planting 100 churches in the middle of the war. Because so many churches have been destroyed. Over 400 Baptist churches have been destroyed. That's not counting the Pentecostal ones and the Bible churches. They just destroy the churches. So these house churches must take place. One-year Bible college in 3 years. So that looks like people that have full-time jobs getting the necessary training so that they can be prepared to preach the gospel. So everything that Keys Connections signs up on is making sure that people are being discipled and ready to preach to the world or minister to the world. Next slide, please. Ministry looks like this, and I gotta keep moving here now. Ministry looks like this, right? So training in small settings. Ministry looks like this, delivering boxes. Many times, Samaritan's Purse and Red Cross will be using our people in Ukraine, people that work with Keys Connections and other, there's about five organizations that work together that help the Ukrainians, us being one of them. We will be delivering supplies. Sometimes we don't even know where the supplies came from, and sometimes we purchase the supplies to make sure that hurting people are fed, but they always get a Bible along with it. Next slide. In Ukraine, this is what it looks like. They'll go to a church, they'll pull all the Bibles out, hymnals, all those things, and they'll just burn them. So if you've heard that the Russian army is trying to protect Christian principles, then you tell me why they're going in and burning the Bibles and blowing up the churches. The political system of the Eastern Orthodox Church in Russia wants their version of Christianity, but not the Bible Belt of the former Soviet Union, Ukraine and Moldova, not evangelical version of the Bible. Pastor Rich said, were you in, sir? How many people remember Pastor Rich saying in the former Soviet Union, people kissed their Bibles? Did everybody hear that? Okay, here's proof. We gave her that Bible, and she just hugged it like it was the most precious thing she had ever owned. Next slide, please. I never thought we would be involved in handicap ministry because we're a ministry involved. But right now, many of the people who have lost a limb represented there, they are hurting people, and we get a chance to minister to them. And then after they don't have much to do because they feel like their life is over, now they want to be evangelists. Pretty cool. I got this call to help with $10,000 worth of Bibles. And then I got the call, help with $50,000 worth of Bibles. And Don and I, from our ministry, we got together, we sent money both times, raised money for that. And then we got a call about 6 months ago. We need more Bibles. The Russian POWs, we hate them. But God told us that we needed to go in and preach the gospel to them. And now we love them. And they need Bibles. And they're getting saved. Brother Paul, could you help us? Brother Don, could you help us? I called a couple people that love to give Bibles, and they sent more money to give Bibles. We have so much more opportunity right now to minister, and more people are getting saved now and are desirous to become effective evangelists now than ever before in our ministry. I committed to Keys to start to tell more people the financial needs are that great, because the only thing that's stopping some of these pop-up Bible colleges and these church plants is just the startup money to get it started. And I'm like, I don't like asking for money, but I love telling what the need is. And then let God deal with how the finances come in. It's amazing. So we sent the Bibles to the Russian soldiers. Next slide. Ministry through God's word at every level. This is what it looks like. We're going to have a Bible study, and in Ukraine, they just form a gigantic circle. Doesn't look like a small group to me. It looks like a big group. Hungering and thirsting for God's word. Here, my favorite story. Right now, it's my favorite story. Those of you who get my emails, you've already read it, but it's a good story, so I'm going to tell it to you. When we send packages and take van loads of things around to different places and help the hurting and hand out Bibles, they had went to a group of soldiers, this group of soldiers. And Yvonne is one of the speakers there. He's one of the Bible college pastors in Ukraine. And he's a president also. He's a pastor and a president of one of the Bible colleges. They went to a small group of Ukrainian soldiers that were in like a, you know, a defense position. And they got there, and they had been there 2 weeks prior. And they got there, they were still at the same place. And they encouraged them with God's word. They were actually preaching Psalm 91, which is one of my favorites. It's been nicknamed the World War II Psalm. So it's very effective in Ukraine right now. And while they were preaching, they had a little sermon preaching happening there, and the soldiers had gathered around, they were listening. All of a sudden, artillery started coming in over their heads. The Russians were bombing their position. So they said, we got to get into the trenches. So they all went in their trenches. They all had their helmets put back on, and they're in the trenches. And while the preacher, Yvonne, was in the trenches like this, he felt a tap on his shoulder. And the soldier says, hey, you were here 2 weeks ago, and you gave me a Bible. Well, there's artillery flying over the head. And he thought to himself, well, that's pretty interesting. Yes? He goes, I had never been to church. Kind of like the thief on the cross. I had never read a Bible. I listened to your sermon. It sounded right. I got your Bible. You had told me what places in the Bible I should read. It was a Gideon Bible. And he had pointed in the Gideon Bible exactly where to look. So he said, I just decided to read those sections. And God came to me and revealed himself to me. And I asked Jesus into my heart. I just wanted to tell you that. Can you imagine? We should. Because the authentic preaching of God's word and God's word in the hands of a person changes lives. Next slide, please. All right, so I'm to the sermon part, and hopefully we can be done by 7:05. I want to read it to you. I have it in a different version up on the screen. I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. So if you want to look along, and if you want to take notes, I'm going to give you the key to effective ministry through your life. Every person here, if you put what I'm going to say to you in practice, you will be better at preaching the gospel after the next 10 minutes of your life. I promise. Because if you're not doing this, you're going to be ineffective. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, may I say strongholds of the devil, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Different version. We are human. Any Martians here today? Everybody human? Okay, we're good to go. All right. We are human. But we, most of the time, wage as humans. See the change I made there? No. But most of the time, we try to minister in our own strength, in our own flesh. And it's not very effective. Now, the Apostle Paul is trying to teach Corinthians. And it's been said that the Corinthian church, a very, very sinful church, is a lot like the average American church. I believe this church is above average. But I think that if you get this concept in mind, what the Apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthians, it will change the way you minister and the way you are around your friends and neighbors. Paul says, we are human, but we, my missionary team, does not wage war as humans wage war. We use God's mighty weapons. So he's trying to teach us, the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us how to use God's mighty weapons. Now, what will God's mighty weapons do? We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Next slide, please. Satan has his weapons. We know them as fiery darts, that he, Satan, is like a roaring lion. We know he is, the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, small g. He's a deceiver. He's a sower of discord. He's divisive in everything he does. He's a liar. He appears as an angel of light. It looks good at first. And I want to have some verses here I want to share with you that I pulled out. And I think they're very important. Anybody who wants them, just come up to me. I'll text them to you. If I can find them. Okay. Nope, that's Pastor Rich's sermon. All right. Taking up some of my precious time here. Okay. 1 John 3:8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So we have to learn to destroy the strongholds of the devil. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Another one, Acts 5:3. Then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? He was a believer. He and his wife decided to try to deceive God and the church. You see how Satan will try to keep you in neutral, or try to keep you ineffective, or actually sowing like Satan? John 8:44. I prepared it before he preached it. I literally had this all prepared. I actually laughed when you started on it. Oh, he's taking one of my passages. John 8:44 says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. One more. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And I could go on and on and on. Satan has his schemes, his embattlement. It's called spiritual warfare, Satan's side. The only way that we can win is if we learn to not do things in the human strength, but depend on God to break down the strongholds. You have strongholds in your life. Hopefully, those strongholds have been being broken down. But Satan wants to try to keep you involved in a sinful pattern in your life, which will keep you, render you ineffective to preach the gospel. Next slide, please. So I continue. We need a right relationship with God. But maybe even more than that. Because a right relationship with God means that you have to have a different relationship with sin. Are you hearing me? All right. We need a relationship with sin that hates it, that flees from it, that runs from sin. In this perverse world that we're living in, if we have one foot in the world and one foot for God, you're going to get run over every time. You will not be able to fulfill what God wants to do through your life. There's no time right now to be sitting on the fence. It's time to be very serious about our walk with Jesus Christ, and that our relationship with sin ends. Now, until the day I die, I will still have carnalness in my life. There will still be sin that will creep in. But if I entertain it, and if I fan that, and I like it, instead of allowing God to break down those strongholds in my life. So it's a personal thing. But on the mission field, where the Apostle Paul said this, it is so important. Right now, the strongholds of Satan is at a level that I have never seen. I never expected to every day get updates of Christians who died in the midst of a war, or opportunities to help people who are so traumatized that they're like the PTSD people that we hear about in the United States. And we need a new posture against Satan's schemes. And I begin to close with this. Next slide. Why? Because we are human, but we don't wage as humans. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy the false arguments. Next slide. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. All right, so the Apostle Paul says, my missionary team has learned this concept of getting rid of the strongholds of the evil one that is trying to keep us from being effective in preaching the gospel. And since the Apostle Paul is known as the greatest missionary that ever lived, I guess he really did have that down. But yet, he constantly was in battle. Somebody was constantly trying to take him out. Shipwrecks and all kinds of stuff trying to kill him. But what he said to the Corinthians is, I've learned to not minister in my own strength and to hate the sinful patterns that become strongholds. And now I want to help you, Corinthians, Corinthian church, to identify the strongholds, and I want to teach you to capture your rebellious thoughts and teach you to obey Christ at all times. Next slide, please. We have to have a dependence upon God and an ability to destroy arguments that can only happen in the power of God. It has to happen in our personal life and in our church life. The local church, God does not want you to succeed. Do you agree with me? God does not want you to succeed as a church. He wants you to fail. He wants you to be a car wreck, a train wreck, so that he can have everybody laugh and go, there goes another one of them churches. They thought they knew it all, but look at them now. We're supposed to be known for our love and our unity and our desire to live lives pleasing to God. In your personal life, same way. If you're entertaining a pet sin in your life, that pet sin is going to take over. It's going to. And if you have like some type of addiction in your life, we prayed for someone who passed away of a drug addiction. If you have some type of addiction, this church can be a place to help you to one step at a time start to put your spiritual feet together and recover. Some of the greatest people, the Apostle Paul, was a murderer of Christians. And look what he became. So if you're wounded and weak right now, this church can be a body of Christ to help you to begin to succeed, to disciple you. Our ministry overseas, and I begin to end here, Bible Extensions. A Bible Extension is a big Bible college that wants to help a whole bunch of little Bible colleges, because right now, travel in the former Soviet Union, they're starting to stop travel. They're trying to make it that people aren't moving around. So having places where you can teach people how to be ready to preach the gospel, because it currently could become illegal to preach the gospel there again. That could happen. And they all know it could happen. So the time is short. So Bible Extensions, online training. Now, online training in Russia has really been hampered. They're blocking it. 2-week trainings, going and giving crash courses on evangelism, on witnessing, and on how to act in a church. Pastoral training. Right now, there's over 400 Baptist churches in Moldova. More than 200 of those men never had any training in preaching or how to pastor. We've identified that, and we now are pulling those 200 out and giving them the training that they need, because it's more difficult now because Moldova is right next to the war. And they also realize that if Ukraine loses or if Russia just wants to take Moldova, it can happen anytime. So there's many countries in the former Soviet Union that know that they could be taken over overnight. So they know that it's now. We have to minister now. Next slide. Last slide. It's 10 after 7. Do you know what it means to be intentional? That's a rhetorical question. To be intentional is to make plans, to be intentional in your own Christian walk, in your own family, to be intentional if you're a young person and you're dating, to be intentional in making sure that you have God's leading in every step of that. If you're getting close to retiring, being intentional that you don't just sit in a rocking chair all day long, but then you use your golden years, that's what they call them because you have gold teeth, all right, use your golden years to be intentional in the areas of evangelism, church planting, every believer becoming a disciple believer. Those are what we're focusing on right now. And you got to focus on here in Rock Springs. Same thing. Evangelism, and that is just one-on-one testimonies about the saving love of Jesus in your life. Church planting. Wouldn't it be cool? Where'd you say that church is, Pastor Rich? That church? Cook, Minnesota. IWD. There you go. That's amazing. I mean, being helping churches to be successful. We're helping plant churches all over the former Soviet Union right now. It's like, wow, what an awesome opportunity. And then this is the concept that I love the best. We don't want people to just get saved, but we want everybody that gets saved to become an effective disciple believer of Jesus Christ. That's missions. Heavenly Father, I pray that this, I love the opportunity. This is the third time I've been to Rock Springs. I literally love coming to this church because I believe it's organic, it's authentic, and each person here just has a desire to overcome the sin that can easily beset them and then just live a life for Jesus. And I pray that you'll take this church in such an amazing and mighty way and just turn Rock Springs upside down with your love and your care. Through this church, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.